This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, August 6, 2018. Coming up this hour,
President Trump and China exchange more tough rhetoric on tariffs.
Saudi Arabia suspends trade and diplomatic ties with Canada.
Manufacturing data in Germany takes a hit from the global trade tensions.
And Iran braces for the first round of new sanctions from the U.S.
It's a shift from President Trump about the 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with a Russian lawyer. Plus, dozens are dead after a powerful earthquake in Indonesia. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees suffer a four-game sweep in Boston, while the Mets drop a heartbreaker at home.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon. And let's check the data now. U.S. futures and European equities are struggling for direction this morning while the dollar strengthens. It is now 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. And S&P futures at this hour are down 4 points. That is 0.1%. Dow futures lower by 26 points. NASDAQ futures down by 5 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down 0.1%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is lower by 0.5%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by 0.1%. The Hang Seng higher by almost 0.5%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield at 2.9451%. The 2-year yield 2.6452%. West Texas Intermediate crude this morning up 0.5% at 68.83 a barrel. Brent crude up 0.4% at 73.51. The pound trading at $1.2960. The euro at $1.1556. The yen at 111.22. And the U.S. dollar spot index is up 0.2%. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. And we kick off the week with focus back on trade. And Beijing said it's ready to endure any economic fallout from its dispute with the U.S. That's after President Trump spent the weekend claiming he had the upper hand in the trade spat. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
President Trump coming out of the weekend really trying to underscore his view that tariffs and the actions that he's taken give the U.S. leverage, and saying that he thinks that it is going to win certainly in the longer term and is going to open up China's economy. And he pointed for the first time to the impact on China's markets as well, the weakness in the equities, saying that this gives the U.S. leverage. So China very much back in focus for President Trump.
Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports China has identified nearly 6,000 U.S. items it could hit with higher tariffs, including liquefied natural gas.
That trade friction sent stocks in China lower again today, following last week's nearly 5% drop for the benchmark Shanghai Composite. Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin has more from Hong Kong.
Chinese large caps fell for a fourth straight day as the trade war continues. The Hang Seng Index, however, was led higher by financial firms. In Japan, it was a choppy session as lower bond yields weighed on banks and weak earnings pushed down electronics makers. In Hong Kong, Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sophie, thank you. We have another international dispute threatening trade today, this time between Saudi Arabia and Canada. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Saudi Arabia has suspended diplomatic ties and new trade dealings with Canada. It's a response to Canada's call for the release of women's rights activists. Saudi Arabia recalled its ambassador to Ottawa and ordered the Canadian envoy to Riyadh to leave within 24 hours. The Saudi Foreign Ministry cited Canadian officials' remarks criticizing the arrests of women's rights activists, including Samar Badawi. She's a Canadian citizen whose brother, a blogger who is critical of the government, was already in jail in the kingdom. So far this year, Canada has exported just over $1 billion in goods to Saudi Arabia. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The U.S. is set to reimpose sanctions on Iran this week. Bloomberg's Ladan Nasiri reports from Dubai.
In effect, what it means is that Iran is not going to be able to purchase any dollar banknotes. It means that it's going to be incapable of trading gold and other precious metals. The measures will also be targeting the automobile industry of Iran. And this is only the first set of sanctions. We're going to have another one also imposed that's going to come into effect in November. It's going to actually hit Iran's energy sector. The U.S. has said that the idea there is to try and cut Iran's oil revenue down to zero.
And Bloomberg's Ladan Nasiri also reporting sanctions on Iran this week will also ban exports of Persian carpets and pistachios to the U.S.
In the U.K., Prime Minister Theresa May's ministers are ratcheting up warnings that Brexit talks risk ending in failure. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Well, the most notable call is from Trade Secretary Liam Fox. He's put the chances of a no-deal Brexit at 60%, blaming a lack of flexibility from the EU. That follows a warning last week by Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt that we potentially face this prospect of a no-deal by accident. The Prime Minister's office, meanwhile, is standing firm, saying it's confident of striking a deal. And Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab is also optimistic. He told France's Les Echos that he sees no alternative to reaching an agreement. Markets striking a bearish tone, though, the pound at a 10-month low. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. In Germany, manufacturers took a hit from global trade tensions in June. Orders fell 4% from the previous month, a loss that was 8 times greater than forecast. The decline comes as a slide in overseas demand weighs on factory orders.
And we have some earnings to tell you about this morning. HSBC is reporting revenue that trailed estimates while costs increased 7% in the second quarter. Shares of HSBC are currently down 0.5% in London.
Profit at SoftBank jumped 49% in the most recent quarter. The Japanese firm posted operating profit of $6.4 billion. Those results were boosted by a $2.2 billion gain from its Vision Fund.
Shares of Linde are down about 4% in Frankfurt as the German gas company's $42 billion merger with Praxair comes under threat. The Federal Trade Commission indicated it wants Linde and Praxair to sell more assets before it approves their combination. Shares of Praxair are also down about 4% in early trading.
It turns out that Google's plans for China are more ambitious than previously thought. Sources tell Bloomberg the internet giant is in talks with Tencent Holdings and other Chinese companies to offer its cloud services in the country. However, trade tensions between the U.S. and China now loom over the effort, making it unclear whether the plans will proceed. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. So let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump appears to have changed his story about a 2016 meeting at Trump Tower. Trump tweeted yesterday that his son, Donald Jr., met with a Kremlin-connected lawyer to collect information about his political opponent, Hillary Clinton. Last year, Trump said the meeting was about the adoption of Russian children. Trump says, though, the meeting was legal and a routine attempt to get information on an opposing candidate. As for special counsel Mueller, Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, said that they are leaning towards advising the president not to submit to questioning and are ready to fight any subpoena.
If you get a subpoena, you file what's called a motion to quash. That will be argued at the district court. Then it would go to the Court of Appeals. Then it would go to the Supreme Court of the United States. From the Supreme Court of the United States, it goes back down to the lower courts again.
Sekulow spoke on ABC's This Week. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. isn't being naive in taking North Korea at its word on denuclearization.
We're going to have to see performance from the North Koreans. There's no question about it.
Bolton, defending President Trump's approach to Pyongyang, told Fox News, there's no one in this administration starry-eyed about the idea North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's regime will completely rid itself of nuclear weapons capability. A powerful earthquake struck the Indonesian island of Lombok, killing at least 91 people. National disaster officials say the damage was massive in the north of Lombok from the 7.0 magnitude quake. Venezuela security forces have arrested at least 6 people after an attack by explosive-laden drones during a military parade wounded officers but left President Nicolas Maduro unharmed. Bloomberg's Patricia Lea has more from Caracas.
The blast injured at least 7 military officers, and Maduro, who addressed the nation late Saturday night, said the attack was an attempt to assassinate him and that some people involved had already been captured. The still mysterious incident shows the increasing tension in Venezuela, which is crushed by hyperinflation and hunger, and where rumors of plots against Maduro are now constant. In Caracas, Venezuela, this is Patricia Laya for Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And Rob Bushka, good Monday morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees wrapped up their four-game series in Boston with the normally capable bullpen trying to hold down a three-run lead. Aroldis Chapman had the misfortune of facing J.D. Martinez, who delivered, and when coupled by a Miguel Andujar error, the Red Sox plated three runs to tie the game and force extras. Andrew Benintendi had the game-winning base hit. Boston walks off New York in 10 innings, 5-4. Skipper Aaron Boone.
We're too good. You know, this is a test we're going through right now. There's no question. We're experiencing, obviously, some adversity just with, you know, being dinged up a little bit roster-wise. We'll also come out on the other side a lot tougher for this. And this is a weekend we'll look back on and hopefully be able to say this is one that brought us together and allowed us to really grow even more as a club. We will move on from this, and we got a big series starting tomorrow.
The Yankees have lost a season-high 5 straight, fall to 9.5 games back of Boston. More importantly, their lead in the wild card stands now at just 2.5 games over the A's and 5 ahead of Seattle. A chance to right the ship tonight on the south side of Chicago. Lance Lynn gets the pearl for the Yankees at 8 o'clock. Mets, they also lost 5-4 in 10 innings, but at home to the Braves, Nick Markakis hit a solo blast. That turned out to be the difference. Braves pitcher Julio Teheran also clubbed his first home run of his big league career. Mets have dropped 7 of their last 10. Homestand continues tonight. The Reds are in town. It's Homer Bailey facing Noah Syndergaard. And golf, Justin Thomas wins the Bridgestone Invitational at 15 under par. Phil Mickelson finished -3. Tiger Woods at even par. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob
Buschke, thank you very much. Well, U.S. stock index futures show the market's getting off to a slow start. S&P futures right now down 3 points. That is 0.1%. Dow futures lower by 20 points. NASDAQ futures down 3 points. 10-year Treasury prices virtually unchanged. The yield at 2.9469%. And this is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network, the broker-dealer RIA that's been putting relationships first since 1979. Find out why the industry's most satisfied advisors are head over heels about them. Visit Commonwealth.com. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures down about 3. This follows the mixed session in Asia as China signaled it won't flinch in a trade war. The dollar, meanwhile, is climbing. Treasuries holding steady. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 2.94%. Yield on the 2-year 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 34 cents to $68.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% on $3.10 to $12.20.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.15.60. The yen, 111.24. Almost a dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today, including Tyson Foods. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump now says that a 2016 Trump Tower meeting between his son Donald Jr. and a Kremlin-connected lawyer was to collect information about his political opponent and that it went nowhere. 13 months ago, Trump said that the meeting was about Russian adoptions. Saudi Arabia has given Canada's ambassador 24 hours to leave the kingdom after Canada criticized the recent arrest of women's rights activists. The Saudi Foreign Ministry says that Canada and all other nations need to know that they can't claim to be more concerned than the kingdom over its own citizens. In baseball, the Red Sox swept their series with the Yankees with a 5-4 win Sunday. The Mets lost. The Nationals, Orioles, Giants, and A's were all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 5:19 on Wall Street. China meets President Trump's tariff hardball with defiance, vowing that it will endure. it can fairly be said tensions are worsening. And what might that mean for the markets? We're joined now by Patrick Palfrey, strategist for Credit Suisse Securities. Good morning and welcome, Patrick. We don't just have the rhetoric growing more strident. This comes amid a slowing of China's economy, declines in the currency, and a bear market in stocks. Is now the time to hunker down, or do investors still believe those forecasts for just a passing storm?
Oh, good morning, Bob. Well, you know, the way we look at it is, I mean, you mentioned rhetoric. It still appears that it is mostly a back-and-forth conversation with posturing on both sides. I don't think ultimately that either party really wants to go down this route. Nevertheless, both need to find a way to deliver something to their constituents, and both parties are looking for a way to do that. You know, that said, what we are seeing from this earnings season is something that is spectacular in the U.S., and it's primarily on the back of U.S. economic strength. The rest of the world is not participating to the same degree, and part of that is because the U.S. is seeing economic success, and the trends more globally are slowing moderately.
Well, can the rest of the world ride on U.S. coattails when essentially the U.S. is trying to shake all the other nations off the coattails?
Well, it may become more difficult as we go forward. The U.S. is benefiting specifically from stimulus packages around the spending bill and around the tax package, so they are unique to the U.S. Can the U.S. pull the world along? I certainly hope so. Is it a problem for U.S. companies? Absolutely not.
Well, there is concern, though, about the numbers that we got from Germany. Manufacturers took a hit from global trade tensions in June, orders falling 4% from the previous month. How much of a concern is that?
Well, I think, you know, the world outside the U.S. is really linked, and some of the slowdown that we are seeing in China as well as in Germany is certainly weighing on overseas indices, on emerging markets, certainly the corporate profit backdrop. You mentioned Germany, but generally in amongst IFA countries is not nearly as stellar. The trends there are something around 7 to 8% this current quarter, where in the U.S. we're seeing growth of bottom line growth of around 25%. So it is, like you said, slowing in Germany or other countries is certainly weighing on those trends. The U.S. has nevertheless found a way to decouple.
Is globalization on more of a hair trigger, if you will? I mean, we've got Brexit and the ongoing problems with that. We've got Saudi Arabia suspending trade ties with Canada. It seems like everybody is willing to make trade the focus.
Well, I think ultimately at the end of the day, when the economy begins to slow, people at home ask their presidents or ask their leaders, why is this the case? And what happens is oftentimes they look for policies that are somewhat insular in terms of looking to give back to their people. Is globalization on dead? Absolutely not. I mean, trade is ultimately the global engine. It is driving so much of the success, and specialization has led to unique economies developing goods that are ultimately need to be traded. So despite the fact that everyone wants a better deal, nevertheless, trade is very vibrant. It is thriving.
Let me sharpen the focus of what you just said. Is the global synchronized growth story over?
I would have to say yes. I mean, really what we're seeing, the U.S. has found a way to decouple. And like I said earlier, it is really built upon U.S.-specific tax packages. But nevertheless, the rest of the countries around the world have not yet been able to sort of reinflect higher or move their trends higher. And absolutely, it's a trend that we expect to continue now for the next probably couple years.
And how are you positioning yourself now with rate increases expected from the Fed and these problems in Europe and Asia?
Well, our focus is recommending U.S. I mean, at the end of the day, trends here in the U.S. are absolutely spectacular. We're seeing growth this quarter of 25%, the next two quarters, 23 and 21%. So we do not expect the profits to be dented in the least. So U.S. is 100% where you want to be right now. From a sector perspective, technology remains a darling. I know we've had a recent wrinkle. Nevertheless, the addressable market of these companies, allowing, you know, whether it's people to shop where they want to shop or services to grow, that market will grow spectacularly fast over the next you know, 10 to 20 years. And that is likely the sector you want to be long term.
Patrick Palfrey is strategist for Credit Suisse Securities. Thank you very much for your insights this morning. S&P futures currently down 3 points. That is a 0.1%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield at 2.9451%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 5:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. China says it's ready to endure the economic fallout from a trade war after President Trump spent the weekend claiming the U.S. has the upper hand in the escalating trade fight. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
President Trump says he's sticking to his tariff strategy to pressure China, telling a rally in Ohio they're working, quote, big time. His comments came after Beijing announced plans to impose retaliatory duties on an additional $60 billion worth of U.S. goods if Washington continues to ramp up tariffs. If enacted, they'd cover around 70% of all U.S. goods shipped to China. In Shanghai, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. That trade friction sent equities in China lower today and the yuan weakened. The benchmark Shanghai composite slumped 1.3% on the heels of last week's nearly 5% decline.
In Germany, manufacturers took a hit from global trade tensions in June. Orders fell 4% from the previous month, a loss that was 8 times greater than forecast.
Saudi Arabia suspended diplomatic ties and new trade dealings with Canada. The move is a response to Canada Foreign Minister's, the Canadian Foreign Minister's Office calling for the release of women's rights activists.
On the earnings front, HSBC is reporting revenue that trailed estimates while costs increased 7% in the second quarter. Shares of HSBC are currently down 0.5% in London.
Shares of Linde are down 4% in Frankfurt as the German gas company's $42 billion merger with Praxair comes under threat. The Federal Trade Commission indicated it wants the companies to sell more assets before it approves their combination.
And Jamie Dimon is doubling down on his call for higher U.S. yields. A J.P. Morgan CEO says investors should prepare for 10-year bond yields to hit 5%. Still, Dimon remains positive on the outlook for financial markets, saying the current bull market could continue for 2 to 3 years. Futures this morning are little changed to lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down 1. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 0.6% or 38 cents to $68.87 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.25%, down $3.30 to $12.19.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1563, and the yen, 111.28. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The president dishing the dirt on Twitter. The latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barnow. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. In a shift, President Trump tweeted that his son's meeting at Trump Tower during the 2016 presidential campaign was held to get dirt on his political opponent, Hillary Clinton. Trump repeated that he did not know of the meeting at the time. Last year, the president said the meeting was about Russian adoptions. On ABC's This Week, Trump's attorney Jay Sekulow was asked about Donald Trump Jr. at the meeting.
Now, I don't represent Don Jr., but I will tell you I have no knowledge at all of Don Jr. being told that he's a target of any investigation, and I have no knowledge of him being interviewed by the special counsel.
The president says nothing was illegal about the meeting. Week two begins in Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial. Manafort's former colleague Rick Gates is expected to take the stand, possibly as early as today. The Trump administration is now admitting that there are problems in the talks with North Korea. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
National Security Advisor John Bolton on Fox saying promises have been made.
There's nobody in this administration starry-eyed about the prospects of North Korea actually denuclearizing. But I think what's going on now is that the president is giving Kim Jong-un a master class in how to hold a door open for somebody.
U.S. intelligence has been reporting now for over a week that Kim Jong-un is still working on ICBM development. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, CNN's reporting that there's a strong possibility President Trump and Kim will hold a second summit. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro laid part of the blame on the U.S. and Colombia for what he called an assassination attempt on his life over the weekend. The U.S. denies any involvement. At least six people have been arrested in Caracas after a drone with explosives detonated during a military parade. Several officers were wounded, but Maduro was unharmed. Emergency officials in Southern California say it's a miracle that no one on the ground was hit when a small plane crashed Sunday afternoon. Orange County Fire Captain Tony Bomarito says the twin-engine Cessna aircraft went down in a parking lot of a shopping center in Santa Ana, killing all five on board.
I don't know anything about what this pilot did or what he was thinking, but it could have been much more tragic.
It's unclear what caused the plane to crash. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Red Sox swept the Yankees in a four-game weekend set at Fenway Park after New York's bullpen collapsed in the ninth inning, allowing Boston three runs to force extras. It was a game full of ups and downs, which saw Xander Bogaerts' error pave the way for the Yankees, only to see Miguel Andujar give it right back with a throwing error to let Boston back in the game. Andrew Benintendi hit a game-winning chopper through the middle as Boston walked off New York 5-4 in 10 innings, extending their lead in the East to 9.5 games. Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
Yeah, just a little off with the command, obviously. They worked some really tough at-bats again, and then we just couldn't finish it off behind them. I mean, a tough way to obviously end a tough weekend, but, you know, we can't let this define what's been a great season for us, and knowing that we got to get on that flight and get ready for Chicago right away.
New York has lost a season-high five straight. They look to bounce back on Chicago's south side tonight against the White Sox at 8 o'clock. Lance Lynn climbs the hill for New York. Mets fans were also disappointed, losing by the same 5-4 score, also in 10 innings, this time at Citi Field to the Braves, thanks to Nick Markakis. He had a 10th-inning home run that was the difference. Atlanta's a game and a half back of the Phillies. Mets continue their homestand tonight, welcoming the Reds. New York has dropped 7 of 10. Noah Syndergaard entertains Homer Bailey. In golf, the Bridgestone Invitational goes to Justin Thomas at 15 under par, 4 strokes ahead of Kyle Stanley, 5 ahead of Dustin Johnson. Tiger finished at even par. Tiger will also be paired with Thomas at next week's PGA Championship. That's golf's fourth and final major. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on hotel rewards and why they're a major sticking point in the biggest hospitality merger in history. Also in this week's issue, is Facebook's earnings flop a warning sign for tech stocks? Pat Grenier edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Because they're tech companies, they're high valuation companies. And whenever you're in a high valuation company, you're thinking like, well, it wouldn't take much to go wrong for all my estimates about this thing to go well. We've been in this situation before.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Hi, Bob. A ruling by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says subsidies of nuclear and renewable energy are unjust and unreasonable. and that could affect a range of New Jersey energy initiatives. NJ Spotlight reports the decision could unravel laws passed this spring promoting nuclear power and clean energy. A group of manufacturers, landlords, designers, and politicians has a plan to preserve New York City's garment district. City Hall wants to retain at least 300,000 square feet for garment manufacturing, but allow real estate developers to bring in more modern businesses. A council vote's expected in the next few months. And a New Jersey state agency plans to team up with hospitals on a new housing initiative. As part of the program, the Housing and Mortgage Finance Agency will provide matching money for homes to be built near healthcare facilities. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about the tariff war putting the squeeze on the cranberry business.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that major wheat growers are trimming global harvests amid extreme heat and unrelenting drought.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Berkshire Hathaway said operating earnings rose 67% from last year on an insurance recovery.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a warning from Trade Secretary Liam Fox, the UK is likely to crash out of the EU without a deal.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on Wells Fargo blaming a computer glitch for hundreds of home foreclosures.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the Trump administration plan to ease vehicle emission standards has pluses and minuses for automakers.
Thank you all. Those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures down 2 points at this hour. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are lower and U.S. stock index futures struggling for direction following a mixed session in Asia as China signals it won't flinch in the trade war. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures little change to lower, down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures are little change. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.4% now. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.94%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 48 cents to $68.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% on $3.80 to $12.19.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1562. The yen, 111.29. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, an Indonesian government spokesman says at least 91 people are dead and more than 200 injured after a powerful earthquake struck the tourist island of Lombok. He says the most urgent need at this point is medical personnel, medicine, and food because thousands of people are being displaced and scattered all over the area. Venezuelan investigators hunting for assailants behind a failed attempt to assassinate President Nicolas Maduro with explosives-laden drones have raided hotels and seized vehicles while grilling six suspects for details of the plot. In baseball, the Red Sox swept their series with the Yankees with a 5-4 win Sunday. The Mets also lost. The Nationals, Orioles, Giants, and A's were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Jen, good morning. It's beginning to look like OPEC stands for the Organization of Petroleum Export Confusion. Julian Lee takes note that Saudi Arabia is starting to stockpile oil again. I'm certainly confused by where this is going. What exactly is going on with crude exports from the OPEC members in the Persian Gulf?
Yeah, so Julian Lee in this piece, he looks at the fact that
Crude oil exports fell by about 1.1 million barrels a day last month, and that's after they surged in June. I mean, to be sure, some of the spare barrels may have been used locally. Saudi Arabia is a great example. Demand, oil consumption always peaks during the hot summer months. But the point is, this time around, you know, the summer wasn't as hot as it used to be. There's more gas that's being used. So it looks like even though some of the spare barrels may have been used locally, not all of it.
So if the oil isn't being consumed or leaving the country, where is it gone?
Well, it looks like it's going into local storage tanks, and Saudi Arabia certainly has plenty of capacity for it. I mean, we've been hearing so much about how they've been eating into stockpiles, and they actually reached the lowest since 2011 at the end of April this year. And so there's clearly room for inventories to keep building.
Now, we've got the return of U.S. sanctions today. Does that figure into this somehow?
It does, because if you've got Iran getting hit with sanctions again, this has already impacted Iranian oil exports, and it's also certain to get worse. So this leaves the Saudis in a position where they can actually start building up a reserve to cope with the hit to the market from the damage to Iranian crude.
And a piece from Andrea Felsted, from Amazon to Alibaba, grocers' pain is endless. It was big news here when Amazon announced it was buying Whole Foods last year. But really, if you've been watching China, you shouldn't have been all that surprised.
Yes, this is a really interesting piece that Felsted's done about the Chinese grocery market, because really, 18 months before this Whole Foods announcement, Alibaba had launched Hema, a technologically advanced blend of online grocery shopping, dining, and bricks and mortar. It's a kind of a triple play that's getting pretty big in China. Alibaba's rival, JD.com, has recently launched its own high-end response called 7Fresh. And so the point that Felsted wants to make is that if Amazon's chasing Alibaba and Alibaba's watching JD.com, grocers in both the U.S. and in Europe need to be paying attention to all three.
Well, at the same time, Amazon has really been innovating. It's got that Amazon Go store, the cashierless grocery store it has in Seattle. Is that helping things?
Well, the thing is, it's worth pointing out that Amazon may not have got there first with the alternatives to the traditional grocery store. There's a Chinese company called Bingo Box, which dispensed with the usual checkout lines, and they had a shop open in southern China in mid-2017. But, I mean, even if Amazon, you know, you don't want to detract from the fact that it is a big innovation, but, you know, it's not as if the Chinese competitors are standing still, and there's more to compete on besides using facial recognition for your payment process. There's store navigation, and there's really shopping carts to deal with. And then there's this triple play that I mentioned. This is really looking like these grocers can become a mini mall in their own right.
And I guess you can see the handwriting on the grocery store wall. Where does this leave old-fashioned grocers that we all know?
Yeah, I mean, looking at Carrefour or Kroger or Tesco, all these companies have razor-thin margins already because they're fighting against the rise of the no-frills supermarkets, Aldi and Lidl. They've got to build their own technological advances as well. But now, if you think about what the competitive pressure is that's brewing in China, that feeds through to Amazon, and then that feeds through to the other U.S. and European grocers. It's just more money that they're going to have to be spending to invest when their margins are already quite tight.
Jennifer Ryan in London, thank you very much. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
Well, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
More than two dozen states have hired chief privacy and data officers. The goal is to analyze and manage data across numerous agencies, oversee the sharing and storage of data, and advise on privacy law compliance. Landscaping companies are having trouble finding workers because of the limits on the number of H-2B visas that can be issued. And U.S. and Mexican officials will continue to hammer away at talks to update the North American Free Trade Agreement. Sources tell Bloomberg Japanese officials will also roll into town to talk trade.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the Trump administration's efforts to unravel Obama-era auto emissions by suspending required increases in vehicle fuel economy after 2020. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Peter Barnes and Amy Morris speak with Jennifer DeLohey, who covers energy and environmental regulation for Bloomberg News.
So, Jen, what is the process now? Well, right now we're looking at a public comment period, frankly, for the next 60 days, at which point stakeholders, you know, environmentalists, automakers, the general public will weigh in, give their ideas and feedback back to the administration. And then it will be many months that we'll see the administration negotiating with automakers, with California regulators and others trying to get to a final proposal we could see at the very end of this year or more likely early next year.
Does that trouble car makers? I mean, that is a long process, and they have to plan as to how they build these cars and what sort of standards they need to meet.
Our reporting indicates that, you know, automakers are concerned about uncertainty generally. It's important to look at how we got to this point. Mm-hmm. Automakers, frankly, to some degree, started this process. They asked the Trump administration to revisit the issue, and now the Trump administration has. They are most concerned about a prolonged legal battle mm-hmm. with California and other states over the aggressiveness and the stringency of these standards that could delay, you know, a final plan next year from really taking effect and really extend the uncertainty around this for years as they really need to be making cars to meet these standards.
Now, and doesn't this get to the fact that they can't build two separate types of cars, one for California and states that similarly are tough on emission standards, and then one model for the rest of the country.
Exactly. So for years, actually decades, California has had the authority and the ability to set its own rules on air pollution. And that, frankly, as the most populous state, that has meant that it's effectively been in the driver's seat. Its standards tend to encourage the federal government to follow along. Other states follow California's requirements. They set a benchmark. And in the Obama administration, when these rules were put into place, the administration worked with California and with automakers to develop one harmonized program so that you didn't have these dueling standards.
And that's Bloomberg News energy and environmental regulation reporter Jennifer DeLoe speaking with Amy Morris and Peter Burns. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Bob.
5:56 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg ETF report from Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
We've talked a lot about the popularity of fixed income ETFs this year. Here's a different twist for you. A floating rate note ETF. Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. FLOT, appropriately enough, is the ticker.
Yeah, it is having what I call a breakout year. This is one of these years where the stars align for a product. And so FLOT is taking in about $4.4 billion this year. And it was only a $6 billion ETF, so that's almost doubling in size. And it symbolizes a bigger group of floating rate note ETFs. There's a bunch of them. There's floating rate senior loan ETFs. They've taken in a lot of money. All told, the whole category, $8 billion. That's 30% organic growth. And obviously the reason is because investors are worried about rates. And so they've seen a huge rush of money into these. You got to look, though, rates, they kind of stopped going up once they got to that 3%. They came down a little. For now, though, investors are not leaving this trade. They're going to hang in there. That's what they think. And the money shows it.
All right. FLOT, FLOT. Thank you, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues.